Welcome to another podcast from Air Insight, LLC.
Today is November the 20th, and the Air Insight team has an interesting lineup today. We're going to talk about Scott Carson from Boeing and his interview that was made in Dubai, where he describes a 787-10 where people or airlines have approached Boeing about a 380 to 425 passenger version of the airplane. We have a guest today. Besides the usual Addison Schoenland and Scott Hamilton, we have the esteemed John Ostrower from Flight Blogger. And John was in Dubai. And John, since you're the guest, how about you lead off on your view of the story?
Well, Addison, thank you for having me. It's really kind of an interesting development here. The 787-10 has always sort of lacked a formal definition, and which should probably be coming in the next few months. But this new revelation is that they're looking at an incredibly high capacity 787, up to 425 seats, ranging on the low side between about 380-390. So you really have an aircraft that can carry a huge number of people, not to mention a stretch that has it at about the same length as the 777-300ER. So it really kind of fits the profile for an interim replacement before a formal Y-3 program can really get underway.
I take a somewhat different view, and I'm intrigued about it. There are certain engineering challenges that I'll talk to in a moment, but instead of Boeing going out and doing a formal Y-3 replacement for the 777, if Boeing can actually go ahead and successfully engineer what I call a 787 Super 10 with 380 passengers, that basically is the same airplane as a 777-300. And if you can do that and have commonality across the entire 787 line, why go to the time and expense to replace the 777 when you already have done that with the 787? Now, the engineering challenges, of course, are that there's what's called design optimization. And with the 787 right now going from 210 seats to 310 seats, which is what they were talking about with the standard 787-10, you go much larger than that and you start losing your design optimization. And a Super 10 would probably require a new wing. It would require a heavier structure for landing gear. It probably would require more powerful engines. So you're not having an entirely common airplane, but you'd still have a common cockpit, common fuselage, common internal structures. So I find it rather intriguing if Boeing, in fact, could overcome the engineering challenges.
It seems to me that if we're looking at a 425-seater, you're getting into 747-8 kind of territory. It's not that far away. Why would you make a twin that size? This is a very, very odd proposition, I guess.
Well, remember that the high-capacity 777-300s is advertised on Boeing's own website as about 425 seats. It would be wall-to-wall people, 29-inch seat pitch, and be able to accommodate nothing but midgets. But the 777-300 is already advertised as a 425-seat airplane.
I think from the point of view of the 787 program, I think they're really best off examining where their market share is really being eroded. And that's right under in the 777-200ER category. You know, look at 301 to 305 seats. The bulk of the A350 orders have been for the 900 version, which is really attacking that share of the market very, very aggressively right now. And I think the A350 1000 really can kind of hold its horses for a moment in the way it's kind of evolving. I think Boeing would be much better served leaving the 787 program in the 210 to 310 range and finding a next generation 777 or a 777X, which is really, I think will benefit greatly from obviously what Boeing learns about the composite technology and also a new wing or engine that really kind of gives the kind of savings both weight and cost savings that really will make it competitive against the 350 1000.
Well, the issue that I see with that is that you have Boeing would be developing then a single airplane for a single market size to compete with the A350-1000. And that just isn't Boeing's methodology. They do a family of airplanes. Now, I suppose conceivably then you could have a 777 replacement airplane that could, at the low end, be the 350 passengers of the A350-1000. But then it starts to expand upwards into actually becoming a replacement for the 747. And then it sort of straddles the large medium category airplane to the smaller VLA category. But just simply for Boeing to design one airplane for the 350 seat, I don't think makes a lot of sense.
Now, quick question here. If we're looking at building a big twin, which I guess is what we're talking about here, what kind of an engine would an airplane of that size require? And is such an engine available?
Well, I think you need a kind of an advanced GE 115B. You know, I think you kind of take that program and take it to the next level. And whether or not you can have the same kind of fuel savings that you're looking at with the Trent 1000 or the GENX, you know, a really high-powered GENX, I think that would really probably give exactly what they're looking for. And I just want to kind of piggyback on one last item, is that if you're looking at an aircraft the same length as the A350-1000 or 777-300ER, but with a 787 fuselage width, you're losing kind of the benefit of the 777 program, which is the extra wide fuselage. And this is actually, interestingly enough, where Airbus will likely use the XWB to their advantage, where you have that extra little bit that will obviously have a very defined product with a very set mission that really doesn't necessarily detract in a large way from their overall market line. So you really get a product that can really kind of take on the 300ER down the line. But obviously they're selling quite well. So I think the fuselage width is a real question. I think you really are able to hold on to that if you're Boeing by keeping the same general fuselage.
John, you made an interesting comment. I think you said more than once now, you said that the A350 is selling well. If you took out the Emirates order, would you still say that?
Absolutely, because I think you have to. I mean, you're talking about 70 aircraft, but I haven't actually looked at the numbers specifically. But I think if you match up the 400 or so orders that 350 has gotten, subtract 70 from it, I'm not sure obviously where you measure launch date, but it is doing extremely well in regards to a new wide body aircraft. I think any historical measure will show that it has had a good solid start in its second incarnation.
Well, it's sixth incarnation, but actually specifically asked Airbus the question, when do they consider the start date for the A350 XWB? It was officially launched in early December 2006. So if you assume that we're starting the clock, and that's when they start the clock on the orders on this thing. If you start the clock at, let's call it January 1st, you have 200 firm contracted orders year to date and another 200 commitments. That actually is a better selling record than the 787, which in its first full year of sales from its December of 2003 launching for 2004, the 787 only sold 54 airplanes. So the A350 actually has got, once they decided what the heck it was, the A350 has actually got a far better first 12-month launch record than does the 787. And you don't see many people talking about that.
Now, another thing, of course, that crops up is when you look at this, the surge in this airplane sales, do you think GE would want to revisit the idea of not building an engine for it?
I think that one of the problems right now is that, as I understand it, GE is contractually prevented from building an engine for a competing product of the 777-300. They may want to, but I understand that there is a contract that prohibits that.
John?
Well, I think that if they're not contractually obliged to not participate, then I think that they'd be missing a prime opportunity. I think the more engine competition there is, the better market there will be for all products.
And that's the summary of the view of our two speakers this morning in connection with Scott Carson's interview in Dubai and the growth in the 787. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Okay.
This podcast is copyrighted by Air Insight LLC.